Hi, I'm William Tullett from Anglia Ruskin University in Cambridge.
And I'm Hannah McCann from the University of Melbourne in Australia.
And welcome to the Pandemic Sensory Archive, a collection of voices from sensory experts on the fate of the five senses during and after the COVID-19 pandemic.
This project has been sponsored by the British Academy, and we hope that you enjoy the interview.
So just to start us off, do you want to introduce yourself and give us a sense of your expertise when it comes to taste?
My area of research in relation to taste is a tasting experience, particularly in travel settings. So in travel setting, how food are exposed to travelers and the tourists, and how people access and taste and take the whole tasting event as an experience of new culture and society. So basically my research and my expertise links the very cognitive aspect of food and the taste. And then my research extends to the cultural experience and social relationship of food.
So it's really bringing together kind of tourism research with this specific focus on taste and food. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
And how did you end up getting into this area of research? Like, what drove you to want to look at all of this?
It's from my personal experience. Although I could do a lot of different area of tourism research, I find myself that I learn culture or society by being exposed to food or experiencing food. So whenever I travel, I find myself learning very quickly other culture and the society by exploring the market or the good restaurant or even ordinary people's eating habit, things like that. So I found that it has some stories that tells us about the history and society and the culture, and it is experiential factors for the tourists. So this is how I get into that field of research.
Yeah, right. So just that personal experience of really getting a sense of a place through the food culture.
Yes.
And I mean, what do you think it is about food that does give us such a sense of place?
People always associate the food or ingredient with the particular place that define our different eating habits or eating style or cooking style. So by accessing food or by imagining a special dishes, we also imagine associate a sort of a taste, then it define a sort of characteristics or identity of a particular culture. So I think the food actually plays quite a huge role in our understanding of other culture.
I mean, how does that work in a place like Australia that's so multicultural? So many different food cultures in the same place?
Yeah, people talk about when I tell us about my research, people always ask about the Australian case, which is multicultural. So I think that's the merit of or the identity of Australian food culture. We have so many different types of food available, and even we can agriculture different produce, which might be very, very tropical or very common in other worlds. But we can access all and consume domestically, but we don't know how much we export those food ingredients to others. But when you export those food ingredients, we don't actually export our food identity, which is quite pity. So I think the multiculturalism that grows our agricultural society of Australia should be more well understood, and it could be more widely communicated and discussed. So we actually identify our Australian food culture as a multicultural society by what mix and matching the ingredients and developing different type of cooking skills. And we also need to bring our regions and an Aboriginal culture, which is a quite neglected area. So we have a lot to do to establish our food foundation.
Oh, it's really interesting that is kind of an area that could change in Australia that needs kind of work. So interesting to think about. So, I mean, like getting down to the nitty gritty of the experience of taste and its role in food tourism. So what is it like, is it, would you say that there's, it's not just about taste, like there's more to the experience of tasting when you're in a place than just kind of what's in your mouth?
Yeah, right. So in my research, I'm not talking about the taste relying on the biological mechanism, but it's more about the social meaning, because in many scholars agree that food experience in tourism is not about the food in our mouth that we can access. It's about the relationship. So tourists actually actively involved with the food, the specific dish or the ingredient itself, and the situation they can access and the people surround them and the specific situation. So it's more about the contextual experience. So food, I think it becomes a great mechanism or the media that make people get involved in the society. So in the food tourism, tasting experience about knowing others and then knowing cultures and knowing society and then making a relationship with other society. From the tourist perspective, the wider the local people is just different people. So they can make a special relationship with the host community in destination. And from the insiders, for example, the domestic people, they can expose their culture to the tourist. So they actually see their little action as a cultural exchange. So food becomes a great, great media that make people get connected.
I mean, thinking about this in the context of the pandemic, obviously the opportunity for tourism is now so limited.
Right.
How are you thinking about these issues in a pandemic context?
Yeah, people, I think this situation will change our perception of travel and especially for the food tourism, the taste, the meaning of taste itself, because it's not common at all. It won't be as universal as before. So people will take such opportunity as an extraordinary opportunity. So if we felt the travel experience or the tasting in other food as just a sort of leisure now or after pandemic, it wouldn't be just a simple leisure, because we have to be very careful in every aspect and we have to invest a lot of money, energy, and even especially time. So all the ordinary things will be changed to the extraordinary. And especially the taste, we haven't actually conscious about the meaning of a taste in travel will become hugely meaningful.
I mean, when you say hugely meaningful, what do you mean?
Okay, when in the past we might say, oh, I had a really nice and fresh ingredient and something special or different taste before. But after pandemic, when you travel, we may analyze or we may remember every single aspect of our tasting experience or food experience in other culture. Maybe every single ingredient can be memorized. People may want to remember, and people may want to just wouldn't be just simply a sort of a passing by experience.
Well, and I wonder if the context of kind of anxiety about being around other people now or going out, you know, in places when you're not in lockdown, going out for dinner, whether that changes the experience people are having of eating meals, because it's a higher stress situation, or perhaps it's also, you know, something you haven't done for so long that you would like enjoy a lot more maybe because it's so unique and special now.
I think the latter will be huge, you know, in such a pandemic situation, probably the anxiety level will be quite high, but people are really, really eager to be back to the normal and then be surrounded by people. So if a situation is more settled and when you talk about the post-pandemic, that means that we can manage our life as close to normal, then I think people will be very excited to be surrounded by more people and then share their own experience with others.
And of course, it seems like there's been a lot of home cooking as well during this period, because people have not been able to go out and haven't also had very much to do. So people have been doing a lot more cooking themselves. I know I'm certainly, it's like I'd never really picked up a cookbook until the pandemic. Do you think that changes people's relation? Are people less kind of willing to maybe spend money on food going out?
Definitely it changes our current behavior. But I think people will show a different behavior post-pandemic. The current pandemic makes people stay inside, as we mentioned, and taste experiences happen within the domestic dimension. And we have very limited people around us to share the idea and then talk about food. So it limits boundary of our social relationship of the taste experience. But post-pandemic, I think the social distinction will be exposed, and then people will be very excited to spend more money, I guess, because we just enjoyed our home cook, that we are not the professional cook, but we saved all the energy and the money and the experience opportunity to the post-pandemic. Then I think people will be very excited to explore wider and more. And I don't think the money will be very, very conscious.
So kind of just like, you know, as soon as that opportunity is available, people want to go back to exploring places. And then, of course, exploring places and going on holidays, a huge part of that is food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how are you... like, can you tell us about the kind of research that you're doing at the moment in this context?
Yeah. So what's the particular area are you interested in?
I mean, I know that looking at your work, you've been doing things on like people's experiences of food cultures and tourism, traveling overseas and different locations. You know, are you changing the way you're approaching that because our kind of contexts have shrunk? Like, is it about kind of local food tourism now?
Mm-mm.
As in, you know, what does food tourism mean if it's just your kind of local area or your own country?
Mm-mm. Actually, the situation changed my approach to food tourism as well, because it's kind of a change of my... it's not my only, it's a change of paradigm in tourism for now, because we pay too much attention to international tourism. And in pandemic situation, we finally look into the domestic boundary, and only the way to survive in tourism industry is just looking at and using the domestic tourism, and which is actually most sustainable and sort of desirable way to develop the tourism. So same to the food tourism as well, we also look at the local boundary and the local tourism market and how the local community and the local tourists can survive each other for fulfilling their leisure desire or for fulfilling their economic activities and then goals, things like that. So many tourism studies have been changed, and also my food tourism research has been changing, but it's not very easy because for the domestic tourists and for the domestic people, it's kind of knowing our culture deeper. And then people want to taste better food or or famous food in local, but they are not really ready to learn the local culture around the food. And then even the seller, the tourism suppliers are not yet also very ready to sell and then tell their stories around the food.
Mm. I mean, so it's that gap that you're pointing to at the beginning, really, about Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of, there's a bit missing about how people could be using food space. I mean, do you think it will lead to the development of kind of more local cuisines in different parts of Australia? Like, you know, you go to Sydney to have, I don't know, dumplings or something, you know, like, is there a sense that it might shift how people think of those local spaces as specializing in different foods?
Because we are competing with each other within a very small scale, then probably everybody must be specialized and they may want to be specialized. So I think more innovative idea will come out. That is very good, I think. And especially we will have more chance to cook at home in the future. Then of course we can also develop the food souvenir for home cooking. And actually I received a lot of food ingredients, sauces and things like that yesterday from Thailand, which is one of my research area, and then my research partner in Thailand knows that I'm really, really eager to the Thai food and I enjoy the Thai cooking. So she sent me a lot of food ingredient yesterday, which made me so happy. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of food product should be well developed and widely consumed, even domestic.
Right. I mean, is that something that could be changing? Is that, you know, if you can't travel to different places, you can still buy these products that give you a sense of that place.
Right.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, have you noticed anything in particular that's become popular?
I mean, in Australia?
Yeah, or just kind of like, is this an untapped potential?
No, I haven't noticed.
Yeah. Oh, it's something to keep an eye out for, I think.
Mm-mm.
Really interesting idea of kind of, traveling, but through those ingredients.
Yeah. And, you know, we haven't been to travel quite a long time, and we already feel the nostalgia that cooking ingredient using the local produce actually fulfill our travel desire. So I think it really helps.
I was reading your work about the kind of how the experience is so multisensory and kind of contextual
mm-hmm.
and taste. And I was thinking about how I've been to Italy before, and I always think about pasta in Italy is so delicious. Like my experiences here can't even match that at all. And I just wondered, when I was reading your work, is that because of the context? You know, you're in this really exciting place and it has all this meaning that you imbue it with, and that atmosphere is part of what actually makes it so delicious.
Yes, precisely. I think so. In the tourism context, we interpret the situation of tasting as a situation of all the embodied experience. So if you just exclude all the surroundings and then just leave only a dish of pasta, I don't think you'll remember that the taste is so fantastic.
Mm. Oh, it's really interesting to think about how that context issue might have affected the way we taste or have less of an experience of food or more mm-hmm. in the fact that we're just eating at home so much in the pandemic.
Right.
I mean, you've removed the context. Does it make it more or less enjoyable? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It will be just a survival of eating.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you know, at what point does the food just become this utilitarian thing rather than something you enjoy?
Mm-mm.
Or is that I mean, at least for me, you know, cooking during the pandemic has been one of the more enjoyable activities as well. So that whole process of cooking and preparing as part of the thing that might make it also taste a specific way.
Right. And I think in the beginning of a pandemic, we actually enjoyed it because we were so precious. We were so waiting for that kind of a homey time. But, you know, it's been prolonged more than 1 year or almost 2 years. People are eager to get be mingled with others. Yeah. And they may want to taste the professionally cooked dishes.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Like that the experience at the beginning where it's a novelty versus later when you really are expecting to kind of be free is a different experience.
Right.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Well, I mean, we've touched on, you know, what you think the kind of future around taste and food tourism will be. But what do you hope for the future of taste and food tourism in a kind of post-pandemic world? What are you hoping for?
I think we better look at our neighbors as well. We always talk about others too far from our place, but even our neighbor and our, how can I say, the sort of domestic boundary of tourism, we don't know much about that. So I think we better look at how to communicate our identity and our food and all the story around tasting with our people first. Then we can also expand the storytelling and experience element to the foreign people. So, you know, that is quite important, especially in Australia, because so far we rely on the external sources and international tourists. That's the reason we are so vulnerable when this kind of pandemic happens and all the tourism industry are very limited. So if you are well prepared and well established for the domestic tourism and domestic food consumption and the taste experience, that will be more ideal and the way to develop and maintain the sustainable tourism industry in the future.
Oh yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch what happens. And there's some really, I feel like you've got some good, hopefully strong suggestions that can be taken up. So those are all my questions, but was there anything else that you wanted to add that we haven't touched on yet about taste?
No, I think I talked pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, great. It's been fantastic chatting. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.